Great to be here. Great to have the opportunity to learn more in Seder with Shimon Greenland. And great to have an opportunity to speak about an interesting topic in Bava Kamma with applications elsewhere in Hilchos Shabbos and elsewhere. When I was asked to speak about something related to Bava Kamma, I asked a number of different people. I had a chance to speak to Chashav Shana Beth Bachrim in Shalvin about anything in Bava Kamma. What should I speak about? And the first answer that I got was, speak about Isha Mishum Chitzav and the Nimukei Yosef. Most famous Nimukei Yosef in all of Bava Kamma. Maybe in all of Shas. And I wasn't familiar with the Nimukei Yosef. And so I had the opportunity to prepare something that then, when I spoke later to somebody else and said, what should I speak about in Bava Kamma? And they gave me another idea. I said, that's a good idea. I was thinking about speaking about Isha Mishum Chitzav. And he said, Nimukei Yosef, most famous Nimukei Yosef in all of Bava Kamma, maybe in all of Shas. And that happened 3 or 4 times. Most famous Nimukei Yosef. So now I know the most famous Nimukei Yosef, and you also do or also will. And that's kind of note number one before we get started. Note number two is about the pronunciation of these words. A lot of people say Isha Mishum Chetzio or Isha Mishum Chetzo. And I believe that's incorrect. And it should be Isha Mishum. Isha is proper Hebrew to say is Aish. You think it's Aisho, but it's Isho. And it's Chitzav. I'm speaking to Chashav Shana Beth Bachrim in Shalvim. I want to pronounce the words right. So I listened to Rav Aryeh Leibowitz's Daf Yomi from YU, formerly Landers, now YU, about giving Daf Yomi on this daf, and he stopped here and he said, there are different ways to say these words. Some people say them Eishu Mishum Chetzio or Chetzo. Some people say Eishu Mishum Chitzav. I think Chitzav is correct. And of course, Rabbeinu Artscroll, if you want to pass him based on Eishu Mishum Chitzav. All right, so that's how we're going to pronounce it. Says the Gemara. Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph Bava Kamma. Hakel Shenata Charara was the case of the Mishnah. Itmar Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish Ham Machlokes. Rav Yochanan Amar. Isha Mishum Chitzav. His fire, the reason why a person is Chaya when his fire causes damage is because it's like his arrow is doing damage. So the same way a person is Chaya for the result of his actions, his fire damaging is the result of his actions. It's like it's his own koach. Just like when I shoot an arrow and it damages all the way over there, my damage, it's like my own maisa, it's like my own action, or at least it's like my own koach. That's what he means when he says, Isha Mishum Chitzav, that my fire, when it damages all the way over there, also it traces back to me. It's like my action. For a shluckish, even though I'm not burning the field over there, right? I'm not burning the property over there. My fire went from here and burns all the way over there. But it's as if I shot the arrow all the way over there. That's what Yochanan Shita is of Isha Mishum Chitzav. Says Reish Lakish Amar Isha Mishum Mamono. No, it's like Mamon Hamazik. The same way, if I'm standing over here, but my shore goes and does damage over there, I didn't do it, but my Mamon did it, and that's why I'm Chayav, because it's Mamon Hamazik. The same way, if I didn't light that building on fire over there, I lit a fire over here. But if I was Poshea, and now my fire went and did damage all the way over there, it's my Mamon that's being Mazik over there. So different Shitos. Now obviously, you just say Sigzeres HaKasuv. The Torah itself is Mechayev us. This is Mechayev a person for fire. The Torah is Mechayev Eish. It's not the Gemara's Chiddush. But Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are trying to understand what are the parameters of that chiyuv, number one, and number two, what's the source of that chiyuv? So that's their machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's because it's your koach, your chet. Reish Lakish is saying it's because it's your mamon hamazik. Says Rashi on the spot, the reason why the Torah was mechayev you is because it's your koach. Like you yourself did it. It's as if you shot an arrow. That's Rav Yochanan's shita. Reish Lakish shita is mishum mamono. Kishoro uboro sheiziku. It's like your property. You are responsible for the actions of your shore that cause damage. You are responsible for the actions of your boar that cause damage. And therefore, you're also responsible for the actions of your fire that does damage. The Kasalka Daitach, this is very interesting, the Kasalka Daitach in Rashi, that I don't really understand. Rashi, you go through the whole Sugya, Rashi never changes from this Kasalka Daitach. Usually, if Rashi brings the Kasalka Daitach, he tells you, at this point in the Gemara, the Hava Mina is X, and later on, Rashi's going to change from that Hava Mina. I don't have an answer to this question, but Rashi doesn't seem to change from this Hava Mina. He doesn't budge from this Hava Mina the entire way through the Gemara. Seems to be, Rashi Shita is, that the Nafka Mina between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is, who owns the fire? That's the Nafka Mina. Because Saka doesn't know how many to speak Benayu. That the Nafka Mina between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is Kigon Shehidat Begachela Sheino Shalo. That if you light something on fire using a charcoal that is not yours, so Rav Yochanan Chayav Dechitavain, Rav Yochanan is going to be Chayav you because it's your Koach, it's your arrow. For Reish Lakish Pater Tilav Mamonahu, and Reish Lakish is not going to be Chayav you because it's not your property. Okay, that's what Rashi says here. Yeah. So, right, that's possible. Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I saw that suggested. But I saw that suggested somewhere. So that's a possible explanation that anybody that doesn't like that can argue on you later. But that's a good possible explanation for what Rashi means at this point in the Gemara when you assume that. I don't love it necessarily only because it's still the Gemara is toe-face even Rabbi Yochanan is holding like Reish Lakish that mamon would be part of the chiyuv. Okay, possibly. Good. So says Tosos. Tosos doesn't like Rashi's Nachumina, and Tosos says Isha Mishum Mamono. Do the second Tosos. The second Tosos Dibur Maskel Isho. Isha Mishum Mamono. Rashi is the Kolomar Chiyuv Mamono Yeshbo. It doesn't mean that it's actually your mamon. It means we treat it like it's your mamon. You have a chiyuv for it, a responsibility for it, as if it's your mamon. V'lo shi'ei ha'eshalo. It doesn't mean that the fire actually has to be yours. Da'filu hidlit ve'eshal acher. Because according to Tosus, he's pointing out, even if you lit somebody's property on fire with somebody else's fire, chayev, you're still obligated. Like we have later on in the Masechta, if I take somebody else's property, let's say there is a path of fire and I see exactly where it's headed. It's going, you know, there's a rope, right, lit with kerosene, and I see exactly where the fire is going. And while it's headed in that direction, I take your shirt or your grain, as the case actually is, and I bend your grain into the path of the fire. If I bend your grain into the path of the fire, umatya beruach mitsuya, and then the fire actually comes as it's anticipated to do, then I'm chayav for that. Even though, do I own the fire? No, somebody else started the fire. Somebody else's fire. Somebody else started the fire, but I'm still obligated because I put my I put your grain in the way. Furthermore, a blacksmith who's hammering something with his hammer, and a spark flies out. That blacksmith was negligent, right? But does he own the spark? He cares about the fire that he's using to burn and to melt all the things, all the metal that he's working with. He didn't care about the spark. He was maskier the spark. Afagav the mistama maskier lay, even though mistama, he's maskier the spark. But he's still chayav. He's still responsible for his pshia in hammering too recklessly and causing a spark to light something else on fire. He's still obligated, even though he was maskier the spark. And furthermore, to ein lecha anam she's chayav b'deleika ever. You're never going to have a person who's chayav for a case of arson. Sheyafkir ha'yichalim, because he could very easily say, it wasn't my responsibility. I just made it hefker. Right? You want to light somebody else's property on fire? I'm angry at you. I'm going to go light your house on fire. Right? God forbid. Right? I take whatever fire that I'm going to plan, whatever torch I'm going to plan to light your house on fire with. So, these are hefker. And I can mask your them and then light your house on fire? Makes no sense. Right? She's chayav b'dleika, she yafkir ha'gechalim. You'll never find a case when somebody's obligated for arson because he'll just be maskir the gechalim, v'yav l'kadosh l'chamero. Below k'per shakotis. And not like Rashi said, to pirish, to ikar b'nayim, to av b'chal shein shalom. And not like Rashi says that the nafkumin of Jubil p'nayim shalakish is lighting something on fire that doesn't belong to you. Like using fire that doesn't belong to you to do damage to somebody else's property. Okay, so machlokas Rashi and Tosfos is about understanding Shad Isho Mishum Mamona. Let's go a little weiter in the Gemara and then we'll go already to the Nimukiyosi. We won't see the whole Amud here, but just a little weiter. Says the Gemara. Reish Lakish my time low Amr Kurv Yochanan. Why does Reish Lakish not hold the Kurv Yochanan? Amr Lakha, he'll say, Chitzav Mikocho Ka'azli. Because let's look at fire. Fire does not behave like your arrow. Your arrow is a result of your own action. Right? You control it to some extent. V'hai lo Mikocho Ka'azli. Fire, when fire spreads, fire is not spreading at your own hand. Fire is not spreading at your own direction. Fire is not spreading at your own guidance. Fire is not spreading with your koach. So to call it your arrow, it's not behaving like your arrow. I take an arrow, if I have any aim whatsoever, I'm in control to some extent where that arrow goes. But I'm not controlling the fire. That's why Reish Lakish doesn't like Rav Yochanan's idea of comparing it to your arrow. Rav Yochanan, my time alone, or Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan, why doesn't he say like Reish Lakish? I'm alcha. He's saying, "Mamona is be malasha, ha, let's be malasha." To say that it's your property and you're responsible for the behavior of your property is tangible. Your shore is tangible. Even your boar, which is a chiddush that the Torah was mechayev you for boar, but even your boar is tangible. You know, it's contained. It's You can see it. You can touch the walls of it and touch the air of it. But fire, what is it? It's energy. It's nothing. It's let's be mamasha. So to say that it's your mammon, how is it your mammon? Everything that's mammon is concrete. Fire is not concrete at all. Let's be mamasha. So that's why Rav Yochanan doesn't like Reish Lakish Shita. Okay, Tanan. Hakelishin of the Harara, our case in the Mishnah was a Kelev who took a burning piece of something, biscuit, charcoal, and it belonged to somebody else, and he used it to be madlik a goddess. Bishom alamandamar isha mishum chitav, I understand this according to Rabbi Yochanan who said isha mishum chitav, chitav de Kelevu. The reason why you're chayav, chasi nezek, on the burning of the goddess, is because it is the arrow of the caliph. And the arrow of any animal, the koach of any animal, as opposed to the goof of any animal, the goof of the animal does shein or regel. What are you chayav? Nezek Shalish. If the koach of an animal causes damage, right, indirectly, right, if the arrow of the animal, right, if the animal were to step on an arrow and send it flying, and then that arrow does damage, we call that Sroros, and you're chayav chatzi nezek, right? The owner of the animal that caused the damage is chayav chatzi nezek. So that's why the Baal HaGadish is entitled only to chatzi nezek, because the owner of the dog pays, if isho mishum chitzav, the owner of the dog is going to be responsible for chatzi nezek because the dog basically accomplished Sroros with the Gadish. But according to Reish Lakish, who holds Isha Mishimamono, hi, Eish Lamimonu Zval Kelavu, what are you going to say about that? It's not the Harara was taken from a different person. So it's not the Mamon of the Bala Kelav. So why is he Chayav at all? So Amr Lachay Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is going to say, Halk Maeskinan to Adye Yaduye. The case was that it's not really fire causing damage. Fire, if it's not your mamon, you're pater legamre, according to Reish Lakish. But that's not what happened here. The case was that the dog chucked it, right? He threw it. The al charara mishal nezek shalim, for stealing the charara and damaging the charara, drooling all over the charara, he's going to pay nezek shalim to the bala charara. And on the place that it actually initially damaged, it's tantamount to basically the tsroros themselves, the pebble themselves, at the place that the pebble actually causes the damage, that it plays, it pays chatzi nezek for. That is traditional classic tsroros. Mishalem chatzi nezek, the al gadish kula, but the rest of the gadish, the rest of this pile of straw that ignites on fire, pater, right? Because Yishomishu Mamono, I'm not going to be chayav for anything that any damage that's caused by the spreading of fire when the fire was not my property. Okay, that's the Gemara until now. So we understand a little bit about Rabbi Yochanan's Shita and Reish Lakish's Shita. Questions until now? Okay, let's see the most famous Nimukei Yosef in Bava Kamma, maybe in all of Shas. Daf Yod and the Daf Arif. Ask the Nimukei Yosef like this. Right, and we all know, we passing like Rav Yochanan, right? Isha Mishum Chitzav. And that's where the Rambam passing, the Shulchan Aruch passing. We passing it Isha Mishum Chitzav. Brought in the tour that way, and all the way down, Isha Mishum Chitzav. So says the it's the last narrow line in the at least in my printing, the last narrow line in the Nimukei Yosef on Daf Yud Amud Aleph and Daf Arif. Yishu Mishum Chitzav says what it means is Ki'ilu Biyadav Hiviro Kida Amud. It's as if I did it myself. That's what Chitzav means. It doesn't mean it's my shore doing it. It's not my board doing it. It's not my property doing damage. It's as if it's Adam Hamazik Bikoko. I'm doing it, and it's as if I did it with my own hands. V'ikash l'cha, and if you'll have the following question, in kein hechi sharinan im chashecha l'hazuk zaneros. How is it possible to light Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos on Friday afternoon? V'adlakasahu leches v'nigmeres b'Shabbos. But then the burning of the candle itself, the wax of the candle itself, happens when? On Shabbos. And it's like I am myself burning that candle on Shabbos. V'chein ma'achizin es ha'or b'medura. And I could do this with any sort of fire on Shabbos. I'm allowed to light a fire on Friday afternoon, the Olechas v'nigmeres hadlakas b'Shabbos, and have it burn and continue to burn, consume new logs that weren't yet on fire from Erev Shabbos. It's going to consume new logs on Shabbos. It's like I'm doing it myself. It's my maisa. So how could you do that? L'fizeh, harei hu, l'fizeh meaning based on isho mishum chitzav. If you say your fire is as if you yourself are lighting whatever happens later. So I lit it here, right, in terms of Nizikin. If I lit it here, and now Beruach Mitzuya, it goes all the way over there, it's as if I lit it over there. That's what Isho Mishum Chitzav means. So that's what's leading to the Nimukayot Hishkasha. If that's what Isho Mishum Chitzav means, then it's Ki Ilu Hiv Irahu Be'atmo B'Shabbat. And it's like, if I light this candle on Erev Shabbat, then the candle is going to be burning on Shabbat, and it's I'm lighting it every moment that that candle is burning it. It's like I am actively burning it. How can I do that? The Kol Shekeinu, and it's actually even more so by Shabbat than it is by Nizikin. What's the Kol Shekeinu? You saw the Nimukayosif yet? What's the Kol Shekeinu? Right, here it's Bekavana. Right, the Kol Shekeinu, the Ilu Hachalom is Kavin Lahavir Gadishal Chaveru Klal, as opposed, in, at least in Nizikin, I didn't have Kavana to burn down my friend's pile. But the Hacha Iker Kavana Sohu Shetzidolik B'Teilu B'Shabbat. And my entire intention on Shabbat is I wanted to burn on Shabbat. Vim Kol Zetznan, and we actually have a Mishnah which instructs us that this is how you're supposed to do things on Erev Shabbat. That by the Korban Pesach, you're allowed to mishalshim es haPesach l'tanur. You're allowed to lower the Korban Pesach. Their tanurim were open from the top. So you're allowed to lower the Korban Pesach on its spit. Right? We're used to thinking of a spit the way we see the Goyim barbecuing pigs. Right? They're this way. But the Korban Pesach was, the spit was vertical, and they would lower it into the oven for roasting, vertically from the top of the oven. Mishalshin is a pesach l'tanur. You can lower the Korban Pesach into the tanur im chashecha right before it gets dark on Erev Shabbat if Erev Pesach falls down on Friday. Umachizin is a orben duris beis hamokar, and you're allowed to rely on the small fire that you lit. Say the fire of the stove is a bunch of logs, and you light just a small part over here. And you know from the small part that you lit over here, it's going to catch fire. All the rest of those logs are going to become consumed, and it's going to end up igniting everything and roasting your Korban Pesach. You're allowed to do that, dafka on Erev Shabbos, dafka by the Korban Pesach. By the way, the Mishnah says it's only... It's not generally applicable. It's a gzeir midrabbanim shami yichata b'gchalim. Maybe you're going to stoke the coals. You're not allowed to do this generally on an Erev Shabbos, but you're allowed to do it with the Korban Pesach because everybody involved in the Korban Pesach is so devoted to the Korban Pesach, they're all going to be mashkiach on each other and remind each other, it's Shabbos, don't be mechata b'gchalim. So that's why that is particularly permissible on Erev Shabbos for the Korban Pesach. Umayisim b'chol yom, k'damar. And there are cases like this all the time, that you light something on Erev Shabbos and it burns on Shabbos. So how could such a thing be possible? So the big chiddush of this Nimukayosav is, ki na'ayim b'milta shafir, when we look into this appropriately, lo kashalam, we won't be bothered. Sha'arei chiyuv mishum chitzav, because when we say your responsibility for Eish is because it's your arrow, kizorek chetz, shebisha sheyatza chetz mitachas yado, it is like shooting an arrow, or throwing an arrow, because as soon as that arrow leaves your hands, be'osa shah nasakol, at that time, at that moment, everything is done. So now, it's going to do damage later. It's like that damage already occurred. As long as it ultimately happens, it's as if it already occurred. So lighting candles on Erev Shabbat, it's not as if the candles, I'm burning them biyadayim on Shabbat. It's as if I'm burning them biyadayim when? Erev Shabbat. So I lit it, and nasakol. And now everything is done. It's like everything is already done. It's not considered your ongoing action. Because even if we did consider it your action on an ongoing basis, Hagelon Lemifteray. We should let you off the hook for any damage that's caused by your fire. The Anusu, because you are Anus about your action on an ongoing basis. Because what's your ongoing connection to the fire that you lit here that's doing damage now over there? It's out of your control. Anybody here from California? Right? Okay. You know, there's damage that's done by wildfires or Australia. Right? These wildfires, if somebody could control a fire once it's already burning, right, the world would be a safer place, right? We wouldn't have all this damage and destruction that's being wreaked by fire. The reason why it's so dangerous is because once it's lit and you lose control, it's out of your control. It's really out of your control. So the Nimukeos says, if it was considered your ongoing Maisa, you should be putter because you can't control it. It's out of your control. So I lit it, a Ruach Mitzvah comes, and now it's consuming a whole wide area. It's out of my control. I should be onus, Rachmana Patre. I should be putter. But Elamai, he says, no, it's like when you did the action, it's like anything that will ultimately ensue from that fire is as if it's already done. Not that goal. Okay, so therefore, Shabbos candles, it's like they're already burnt. Yeah.
What's the nature of this? Is it like the Masreya, once the damage is done, the Masreya, you're attacking the
You have to say that way, right? Because obviously, it might not damage, right? I don't know which direction it's going to go. We can't say I'm chayav now for something that hasn't happened yet. But once it does happen, then Nasakol, Lechora Lemafreya. I mean, what we're going to end up discussing for the next 45 minutes is what's that in this line. But that's Lechora, we're talking about Lemafreya, yeah.
If you throw a tree off a roof, and if there's pills there, you ultimately will be possible to remove, and if you, therefore if you remove the pills, you still will be possible. What if, when you throw there's no pills, and then you put the pills there? The Lemafreya gets like...
Yeah, the, right, Lemafreya, then you've taken something... Right.
The time you did it was wholly damaged.
Right. So... Yeah, that's also discussed. But I think we're going to see the case that's similar to that of Zohar Kli Rosh Hagag and Ba'ach Rav Shivro, right? That we're going to discuss shortly. The case of Zohar Kli Rosh Hagag and you rescue it, right? So then what's the halachic nachmini? You want to know who
if someone else throws pills and someone else removes it, who's it on then? That's it.
So there were two subsequent actions, right? Zohar Kli Rosh Hagag, it's gonna fall, right? But somebody else saved it by putting in pillows, and then after that, somebody else removed the pillows. Okay, we'll have to analyze that case based on the different ways of seeing things. Of seeing things here. Lechora, based on the Nimukei Yosef, Lechora, you would say, your action is already responsible for what ultimately is going to happen to that kli. Somebody else rescues it, somebody else saves it. If it ultimately breaks, the person who threw it is chayav. But if it ultimately doesn't break, then the person who threw it is patur. But I think Yesh al Ma'aladim, based on what we're going to see. Yeah.
Since Nimukei Yosef is saying, hey, Kara, what if a person lights a fire and then dies by damages? Is it, since you lit it, therefore you die?
Oh, he discusses that case. Okay. All right, he says that right now. So he says, this is a good one. I'll just read quickly. If Eish is considered your ongoing Maisa, then you should be Potter because you're an Anus. V'hachinami ilu meis kodim shehispik lahadlik agadish. If you die, you light the fire and then you die. And ultimately, that fire ends up damaging. V'adai mishtalin nizak me'achrayas nechasim didei. Your estate, obviously you yourself don't have to pay anything, you are dead. But your estate is going to pay for the fact that you lit a fire that causes damage. Because the bottom line is, a person who lights a fire and that fire goes out and damages, what's he responsible for? For the action of having lit the fire. So you light the fire, it damages after your death. You could say, well, your estate could argue the thing was still not burnt at the time that my father passed away. It was still here in this world. It only burnt after he's dead. And you're still going to be mechayavim? And the answer is, yeah, we're still going to be mechayavim because his action took place while he was alive. He caused the action while he was still alive. So the effect of that action only took place after he died. But of course, shalem, he should be chayav for that. Right, the amayiv v'chayiv harei meis, who meis lav barchiv v'el lav shmamina, but comes out, delav k'man da'al v'kashav yadayim. It's not as if he's burning it down now, physically. Kashvin alay, we're not considering it as if he burns it down now. El k'man da'al k'mei karim shas p'shia, kashvin alay. We consider it as if he burnt it at the time when he lit the fire. V'chein adin linen Shabbos, and similarly by Shabbos, v'chi atchil me'erav Shabbos atchil, when you light the fire on Friday afternoon, it's like it was done on Friday afternoon. And it's as if you completed it with your hands at that time, Friday afternoon, not Shabbos night, not Friday night. The last bay is chashiv, and it's considered as if you did nothing problematic at all. Okay, that's the nimukiyoseh. Let's go to Daf Yudzayin. We'll see Tosfos quickly. Daf Yudzayin on the base. So we have the case of Zara Klimi Rosh Hagag. Rava comes along with a similar case. Rava comes along and asks a question six lines up from the bottom of the Gemara on Daf Yudzayin on the base. By Rava. Rava asks a question. Darsa ala Kli, your animal stepped on a Kli and it went flying. So the animal steps on the Kli here, right? If it damaged right here, no question. That is regal, and you're going to be chayim nezek shalom. That's not what happened. Darzal a kli. Now the kli flew to that wall, and so like 3-4 seconds after he stepped on it, it broke, and it broke over there. Rava's question is, veloshibart, right? You step on it, it didn't break. Viniskagol makamacher, it rolled to a different place, and vinishbar, and then it broke once it rolled to the second place. Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we follow the initial action? And the initial action, we say the initial action of stepping on it is what caused the damage, and therefore vigufeyu, and therefore it's regel, and we say nezek shalim, or dilma, or perhaps we say basatavar manazlinon, with tzroritinu. So we say, no, the place where it ultimately ended up breaking is where the damage was caused. And there, and we follow the place where it ultimately ended up breaking, and therefore it's like tzroros. No different than if the kli had been there the whole time up against the wall, and the animal stepped on a pebble, and the pebble went and broke the kli over there. No different than that. It's, do we follow baser mei karazinun gufeyu or baser tavarmana azinun tzrorosinu? Which one is it? So says the Gemara, what do you mean, tishalemi d'rava? Rabba speaks about a very similar case. Rabba should be the precedent to be able to answer this question. Rabba's case was, right, similar to Rabbi Schreier's case, right, but not, you know, not exactly the same case. Rabba's case was, Zarek Klimi Rosh Hagag, you throw a kli off a roof, it is ultimately going to break 10 seconds later, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, comes along another guy 2 seconds before it's about to break and shatters it with a club, manatviratavar. The second guy is putter because it's already considered as if it broke. So you see, Rava's principle is basar mei kara aslinon. We consider as soon as the action is done that will ultimately yield a damage, we consider We consider the damage done at the time that the action was done. Basar mei karazrina means we consider the damage done at the time that the action was done. And therefore, if somebody else comes and damages it afterwards, not a kira tavar. It was broken already. The second guy's putter, because the first guy broke it, if he threw it off at 12:53 and 45 seconds, and it breaks 10 seconds later, it's considered broken at 12:53 and 45 seconds. It's not considered broken at 12:53 and 55 seconds when it ultimately crashes to the ground, or at 12:53 and 53 seconds when the guy shatters it with the club. It's considered broken already. That's what Rava's principle is. Basar mei karazlina. So Rava, shouldn't you apply the same thing about Dar Salakli? That you should consider him chayav basar mei karazlina. Consider it regel. It's broken here, not there, when it ultimately hits the wall. Says the Gemara, l'Rava pshitale, l'Rava mibaylei. Rava asked this question because it wasn't so clear to him. Rava has a shita, well-developed already. He holds basar mei karazlina. Rava, it's not so clear what the halakha should be. That's why he asked the question. Okay. Comes along Tosas, and Tosas says, even though l'Rava pshitale in a case of Dara Kli Mirosh Agag, but Tosas says it's not so clear in a case of shooting an arrow. Let's say, here's the, we'll use that water bottle over there. If Zara Kli Mi Rosh Hagag, right, I throw this Kli off the Rosh Hagag, it's already considered broken as soon as I threw it. That's Rabba's case. But says Tosos, Nira, says Tosos, Din Zarak Evan Ocheitz Ala Kli, if instead of throwing the Kli off the roof, instead I throw something at it, or I shoot an arrow at it, or I throw an arrow at it, from the time I threw the arrow, is it already considered mana tvira? You would think so. The Tosa says no. Niradim zarek evan ocheis ala kli uva'ach v'kadam v'shivro. If I threw an arrow, now the arrow is in midair, and now the guy with the club comes over and says, I get to have some free fun. The arrow is already going to break this kli, so I can smash it. And it's free fun because it's already mana tvira. And I'm not causing the damage. The arrow that's already in midair is going to cause the damage. Says Tosos, no. The pshita the chayav. It's pasha to Tosos that the second guy is chayav. Velo shayakan mana tvira tavar. And you don't say it's already broken. The azina nami haka basar mei kara. Lo mishkachas petroros kasi nezek. Tosus proves it with the following question. He says, if you would say that something in midair is as if it already happened, then you'll never have chasi nezek for tzroros. Because imagine the regular case of tzroros. Right? An animal is walking and it steps on pebbles. Those pebbles fly and to the window and damage the window. We say chasi nezek because it's as if there's a time lapse there, right? He stepped on it here, they flew there, and they did damage after a delay. Says Tosos, once you say something in midair is as if basar mei kara azlinan, then what is tzroros? There's no time delay. Basar mei kara, as soon as he stepped on it, he did the damage. So he should, every case of tzroros, would be chayav nezek shalim. Therefore, that leads Tosfos to this chiddush that he says, basar mei kara azlinan, yes, Rabba holds basar mei kara azlinan, but not by zorek chet, not by zorek evan, and l'chora not by esh either, right? Because if you hold esh or mishum, esh or mishum chitzav, then you're not going to say basar mei kara azlinan. That's Tosfos, yeah.
So, It must be the argument that you can have tzuros even though it's not basar mei kara, because even by the Isha Mishum Chitzav, it's a chitzav that you're going to be basar mei kara there, but he's still going to hold the case of tzuros.
It would seem as much, right? But that's what we're going to talk about in the last half hour here. Because that's exactly what the Ketos HaKoshen says. If you saw the Ketos in Seder, then extra points. If you didn't see the Ketos, then even more extra points. So that's exactly what the Ketos says, right? The Ketos says, what's Tosus doing here? By establishing a new principle that Zorek Chetz is not in Rabba's category of Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, he's clearly arguing on the Nimuke Yosef. The Nimuke Yosef's entire idea is basically that Zorek Chetz, and therefore Madlik Hesh, is in the category of Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, just like Rabba said. And if it's in the category of Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, we consider it like Nasakol. Those were the words of the Nimuke Yosef. Nasakol. As soon as you do it, it's like Nasakol. That sounds an awful lot like Basar Mei Kara Azlinan. And Tosus is coming along and saying, no, by Zorik Chetz, it's not Basar Mei Kara Azlinan. Yes, Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, if Zorakli Mei Rosh Hagag, right? It doesn't even say, I don't know if letting a kli go, Lakota, that's the same thing as Zorik kli. But the case was Zarak kli mei rosh hagag, he threw it. So that's manar tzvir tavarim. We say Basar mei kara azlinan, according to Rabba, if you threw it. But if you shot an arrow at it, we don't say the damage is already done. Okay, That's the case of Tosfos and Lechora. What the Ketos says, and we'll see a little bit of it inside. What the Ketos says is that this is a machlokes Nimuke Yosef and Tosfos. He says there are other Rishonim also. Let's see the Ketos. How many of you have it with you? Not very many. So let's say I'm mostly outside. So says the Ketos. It's not just Tosos. I'm sorry, it's not just the Nimuke Yosef that Tosos is arguing with. It's the Tur and the Rush. The Rush has a case of, the Rush brings the case of the Gemara and Daf Yoram and Beis that says, Hichizo b'rshus ha-rabin v'yiziko b'rshus ha-yachid, that if an animal causes tzroros to fly while it's walking in Rosh Hasharabim, which is a makom ptur or makom chiyuv for tzroros. Right? What was it? Ptur, right? That tzroros, like any shena regular, only chayav Rosh Hasharabim. So he's walking in Rosh Hasharabim, and he steps on a pebble, and it starts to fly, and it ends up causing damage in Rosh Hasharabim. So what do we say? Basar mei kara azlinan, basar tavar mana azlinan. Right? So we say that it's based on the place that the tzroros were caused to fly, or the place that the tzroros actually caused damage. And we hold, right? We says the Rush. I'll read it. It seems from the Rush that even when you shoot an arrow, we follow Mei Kara. Shekasav Parakeis that Aregu, because he wrote, Gabi Tzitzah B'Shus Arang V'Zika B'Shus Hayachid Chayav. Right, that in that case we hold you are Chayav. V'Zel Hashanah, but this is what the Rush says. V'Afal Gav, and even though, T'Gabi Dar Salak Liminis Gago Makamachav V'Nishbar Asiknal El Karaba. The Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, even though by the case of Darsal HaKli and then the Kli does damage somewhere else, our Maskana is like Rabba, that Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, Hacha Lo Azlinan Basar Mei Kara, El Achara Makam Shanasa Bo Anezek. In this case of Tzroros being starting in Rosh Hasharabim and ending up in Rosh Hashayachid, we don't follow Basar Mei Kara, but rather we say, it depends on where you cause the nezek. Why? Xeris hakasov. Zigali kra uvier bisei acher. V'abior hayav v'chatzer anizak. It's a xeris hakasov because tzroros and any shein and regel are uvier bisei acher. It has to do damage in a different place. What do you see that the Torah cares about? The place where the damage actually occurred. Not the place that the Maisa happened that led to the damage, but the place that the damage actually occurred. So the Rush says it's a Gzeiros HaKasuv. That's why a Hitzitza Rishus around the Zika Rishus HaYachid is going to be Chayav. If the Rush held like Tosos, what would he say? You see, the Rush disagrees with Tosos. How do you know that? Because if the Rush held like Tosos, what would he say? Right? You would... It would be what?
Every time that I see a Zorik, I know that it's zero. The place that it's damaged, that's the
case. Right? Tosos would say, it always depends, right? You wouldn't have such a question. Right? You wouldn't have such a question to begin with that you have to answer it. But you see from the Rush, having such a question and then having to answer it, that he disagrees with Tosos. Okay, and the tour also. One more case that the Tosos brings, where he proves that the tour also disagrees with Tosos. So the Tosos lines it up the same way. What's your first name? Asher Shreiner. The Tosos lines it up that way. That Tzmachlokas Rishonim. You have the Nimukei Yosef, the Rush, the tour on one side, who hold that for Chitzav, your arrow is considered Basar Mei Kara Azlinon, and that applies to throws, and applies to throwing an arrow, and it applies to lighting a fire. And then you have Tosus on the other side who holds that that it's Basar Tavar Man Azlinon, that for arrows, and therefore presumably for fires, we follow the time that it actually happened. Yeah.
One way or another, that would be a huge question. One of them, right? For Tosus, it's going to be
okay, how does Tosos light Shabbos candles? If he's arguing on the Nimukei Yosef, how does Tosos light Shabbos candles? Great question. Ah, right? The other three Shittos that we've shown him, how are they going to understand? How are they going to understand? So the Tosos deals with your second question. The stipler that we're going to see deals with your first question. So the Ktos deals with the second question. The Ktos says like this. It's a very important question. Right? Tosus seems to have a strong raya that we don't say Basar Mei Kara Azlinon when it comes to Chet. We don't. Because if we did, then how could you ever have a case of Tsoros? The whole concept of Tsoros only being Chayav Chatzi Nezek. I'll read you the words of the Ktos where he answers the question. It says like this. Tosus' question about Im Kain, if you say that Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, then you're never going to have a case of Tsoros. Nirela Ani Asaiti Diakati Eno Ella Kocho. Tosus' point was, why is Tsoros different than regular Regel? Because of a time lapse. Right? You did an action here. It didn't do damage until later. So Tosos holds, why do we have a din of Chatzi Nezek by Tsoros? Because of the lapse of time. And that's what led Tosos to say, and therefore if you would say that Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, then there would be no lapse of time, and therefore you would never be Chayav, you would be Chayav Nezek Shalim always. You would never have a case of Chatzi Nezek Tsoros. That's what led to Tosos' question, because Tosos presumes that the reason why Tsoros is only paying Chatzi Nezek is because of the lapse of time. Comes along the Ktos and says, that's not the reason why you pay Chatzi Nezek for Tsoros. Says it's not a distinction between damaging now versus damaging through a time lapse. It's a distinction between Gufo and Koko. Gufo, an animal that causes damage, Begufo, pays Nezek Shalim. An animal that causes damage, Bekocho, pays Chatzi Nezek. It's still Eno Ela Kocho, says the Ktos. And he says, Ve'af agav the command in Nishbar Dami, and even though it's as if, yes, it's the mice is already done, and it's as if it's already broken, Kivan de Eno Ela Ayide Kocho, Halacha de Chatzi Nezek Mishalim. Since it's only happening through your koach, not your goof, but your koach. Therefore, that's why you pay chatzi nezek. Ukmo, and it's similar to a case in the Gemara, b'tarnigolim sheiziku. It's a case of roosters that cause damage by flapping their wings. Their wings themselves, if they would hit something, what do they pay? Nezek shalim. But the wind that's caused by flapping their wings, beruach shebekanfeim, kevan de'eno elia dekocho chatzi nezek shalim. Since it's only their koach, they only pay chatzi nezek. So that's how the ksos answers your second question. So he says, this doesn't bother the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim understand Throros differently than Tosfos does. Right? Tosfos understands Throros as being a result of time lapse, and that's what led to his whole question. The other Rishonim say, it's not the time lapse that makes you putter, makes you only chayav chatzi nezek. It's Kocho versus Gufo. Gufo pays nezek shalim, Kocho only pays chatzi nezek. Okay. Your first question is one of a bunch of questions that I want to ask, though. The way he sets this up, the Nimuke Yosef is arguing on Tosfos, and the Nimuke Yosef is basically holding like Rabba. He's saying, Basar Mei Kara Aslinan. Right? That's what the Ksos did and said. He said, Basar Mei Kara Aslinan. That not just Basar Mei Kara Aslinan when Zarek Klin Rosh Hagag, but Basar Mei Kara Aslinan even by Zarek Chetz, or by lighting a fire. Basar Mei Kara Aslinan. If that's true, right, we read the whole Nimuke Yosef inside. Why doesn't he quote Rabba? Why doesn't he say the words, Basar Mei Kara Aslinan? He doesn't say that. He says, Naaseh Hakol, but he doesn't say Basar Mei Kara Aslinan. The interesting question on the Ksos. If you're right, Rabbeinu Ksos HaChoshen, then why didn't the Nimuke Yosef actually use those words? That's question number one. We're going to have seven questions on the Ksos. And I think the stipler answers all of them beautifully. So that's where we're going to end up. Okay, question one is, what was your question?
How did
Tosos
learn?
How did Tosos, okay, so we'll make that question two. How did Tosos light Shabbos candles? Okay, so question one was, if this Pshat in Nimuke Yosef is correct, then why didn't Nimuke Yosef say it? So why did he say the words Basar Mei Kara Aslinan? Why did he quote Rabba? Right? Question one. Question two. How did Tosos light Shabbos candles then? Right? Obviously, Tosos lit Shabbos candles, or his wife, right? Or Tosos is plural people. So all of their wives lit Shabbos candles. And how could they do that? What's their answer to the Nimuke Yosef's question? Question two. Third, the Gemara on Yedzayin Amud Beis said, L'Rabba Pshitale, L'Rabba Ibayale. Rabba knew that Basar Mei Kara Aslinan. Rabba wasn't so sure. Basar Mei Kara Aslinan or not. So how did Rabba light Shabbos candles? Or Rabba's wife? If this is all about, if the Nimuke Yosef Shita is all about Basar Mei Kara Aslinan, and Rabba's Mesupak, right? Rabba knew that Basar Mei Kara Aslinan, but Rabba's not so sure Basar Mei Kara Aslinan or not. Yeah.
Rabba at least had some doubt. He at least thought there was a chance of Basar Mei Kara.
Okay, so it's only a stuffing deal, right?
Right. Correct.
So it's a stronger question on Tosos, but I'm throwing in a question on Rabba. Once the Stipler is going to end up answering all the questions, we might as well give him another question to get credit for answering. So that's question three. What would Rava do? Question four. The Gemara in Tainus on Chavtes Amud Beis. The Gemara in Tainus quotes Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says about the Korban Beis Hamikdash. He said, if I could have made the determination of when the Tainus of Tisha B'Av should be, anybody know this Gemara? What day would he have made it? The 10th of Av. Why? Because the Iker Churban, the Iker Srefa, happened on the 10th of Av. But if you hold like the Nimuke Yosef, at least if you hold like the Ktosis explanation of the Nimuke Yosef, Basar Me'ikara Aslina, makes no difference when the Iker burning happens, the Iker Srefa. Basar Me'ikara Aslina. Basar Me'ikara Aslina means the time the fire was started, right? I don't know how we avoid quoting pop music here, but who started the fire? We didn't start the fire. But the fire that was started on the 9th of Av, that's the fire that you're responsible for even on the 10th of Av. So if Basar Me'ikara Aslina, it makes no difference that the Iker Srefa was on Yud. What's Rav Yochanan saying? If Rav Yochanan holds, as we know he does, Ishom Ishom Chitzav, then... and Nasa Akol already from the time of the beginning of the Srefa, then what difference does it make the Iker Srefa happened on the 10th? Right? Sounds like a strange question, but then when you start to think about it, it's actually going to lead to the Stipler Shita. Because the more of these questions you hear, then it's like there's what seems to be an obvious chilik to make that's going to help us understand the Nimuke Yosef. Question 5. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank asked the question about Chanukah candles on Erev Shabbos. Right? Chanukah candles on Erev Shabbos, if you hold, like the Nimuke Yosef, that when you lit the candles, then when you light something, it's already Na'aseh HaKol, but we have a din that the Chanukah candles have to burn on Chanukah. Right? So, say it's the first night of Chanukah, and it's Shabbos. Right? So here we are, Friday afternoon. You light Hanukkah candles on Erev Shabbos, right? And you light extra long ones or oil ones so that they're going to burn into Shabbos. But based on what we said, Basar Me'ikara Aslina, Na'aseh HaKol, everything was already done from the time you lit the candles. But you lit candles that are going to burn for 3 hours. But Na'aseh HaKol, from the minute you lit them, if 3 hours worth of consumption happened in 1 second. So there's no Hanukkah candles burning on the Hanukkah. So how are you Yotzei Hanukkah candles? Sixth question is the question of the Maritzchias. This you have in your Gemara, so let's see it inside quickly. Says the Maritzchias, go to the back of your Gemaras. The Maritzchias asks like this. He quotes the Nimuke Yosef. He says, Ve'adayin yesh ladin bidvaro. But we still have a question on his words. In Cain, Eich mivarchim al hadlakas ner Shabbos. I get, he says, how you're able to light Shabbos candles on Friday afternoon, and the candles are still going to burn and consider Na'aseh HaKol. But how do you make a bracha? The reason you're making a bracha is so that they're burning on Shabbat. But if you're disconnected from what's happening on Shabbat because it's considered as if you're totally out of the picture already, then what bracha is there to make? So I heard on the same Daf Yomi Shir that I quoted at the beginning from Rav Aryeh Leibowitz, he quotes this Maritzchias, and he suggests an answer just to the limited question of the Maritzchias. He says, I don't understand. We have, when it comes to Shabbos, an idea of Kavod Shabbos and an idea of Oneg Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is what you do before Shabbos to make sure that Shabbos has a certain amount of Oneg. There are dinim in Erev Shabbos. Why couldn't you say that that Shabbos candles are a din in Kavod Shabbos? They're a din in the preparations that you do before Shabbos. And because Kazal were misakin it, so you make Lahavik Nershal Shabbos, you make a bracha asher kicharim tzos v'tzivanu. That, right, just like any other derabbanans that you make a asher kicharim tzos v'tzivanu, that's its own shir and its own question. How could we say about Hashem commanding us on a derabbanan? But we do it by other derabbanans. So the same answer that you give for the other derabbanans, right, Lo Sassor or Sha'alavicha V'yagedcha, whatever the instruction is that Hashem gives us to listen to Chazal, that's what we're making Asher Kishon Tzosef Tzivanu on. So the same thing that we'll say about that, we'll say about lighting candles on Erev Shabbos, because it's a din in Kavod Shabbos. It doesn't It's not something that you're doing biyadayim on Shabbos. That was what Rabbi Leibowitz suggested as the answer to the Maariv Chiyus' question. But again, since we're going to bring the stipler to answer all the questions, we'll include this one too, because his answer will answer this question too. How could you make a bracha on lighting Shabbos candles when Naaseh Hakol Basar Me'ikara Azlinan, that everything that you've done is already done on Erev Shabbos? It's as if even the Shabbos candles that you lit, you buy six-hour candles. They sell the candles by the length that they're supposed to burn. Right? They're more expensive. Six-hour candles, four-hour candles, three-hour candles. But if you buy six-hour candles and you lit them 18 minutes before Shkia, they're supposed to burn now, right, for 18 minutes plus 5 hours and 42 minutes. But according to what we saw in the Nimukei Yosef, and at least as explained so far, Naaseh Hakol. 6 hours of consumption of wax happens in Bevat Achas at one moment. It's not burning on Shabbos. So you may see it. It appears like it's burning on Shabbos. But in terms of what you did, Naaseh Hakol already. Last question is a question that the Ketos asks on himself. The Ketos asks the question on himself. He says, the only problem with me setting it up this way as a machlokas rishonim, and I say that the tour is on the side of the Nimukei Yosef, is that the tour himself paskins in the case of misachseches. The tour himself paskins, the tour holds esho mishum chisa, and yet the tour himself paskins that in the case of misachseches, that if you light the fire, If one party lights the fire initially, and then another party would come and be misachsech the rest of the bira, the rest of this building, then the second party is going to be chayav. Because physically, the building hasn't burned yet. The misachseches, then the one who is misachsech is chayav for the whole bira. The question is, based on what we've already said, isho mishum chitav, from the moment the first guy lit the bira on fire, the whole building is as if it's already consumed. And if it's as if the whole building's already consumed, how are you being mechayev of the second guy for being misachseh? Yeah.
It's only once it actually happens that it's done. The second guy with his action, first he stops it and then allows it to continue happening.
Right, so this is similar to what you were asking about, right? About removing pillows, adding pillows back, and then removing them again. That this is effectively what the stipler is going to say, right? But based on what we've understood so far, Basar Me'ikara Azlina means that, and Naaseh Hakol means that at the moment that you lit a building on fire that has the ability to now burn down, it's as if it's burnt down. And therefore, if somebody else would come along and go to the upper story, right, you lit the base, the first floor. Somebody goes to the upper story and it's misachsek there. And it's misachsek on another story. And you want to say, we're gonna split the chiyuv. The first guy's chayav for the first half of the building, the second guy's chayav for whatever he was misachsek, which is effectively what the tour paskins. But why? The first guy should be chayav for having lit the entire building on fire. Basar Mei Karazlina. The Ketos leaves that b'tzarachim. Says based, I the only problem with my explanation. So the stipler says something beautiful, and effectively, I'll read his words. Usually, the idea of an acharon is more important than the words. We show him a dike in every word, an acharon, not as much. It's so beautiful the way the stipler writes this. He says, Achen l'anias daiti. He says, Ha didonu b'gemara. The fact that the Gemara has a diyun, ibasar me'ikara azlinan, the Gemara, right, on daf yudzayin, and on daf chavav, has a diyun about basar me'ikara azlinan, that's one matter. Uma shekasav hanimukei yosek, dinechshav sha'asa akol b'sha'azrika, the fact that the Nimukei Yosef says on a different subject, that everything is done as soon as you throw it, it's like everything is done. Haim Shnei Inyanin. These are two separate matters. The Ktos was predicated on conflating these two Inyanin, saying that Nasea Kol of the Nimukayose and Basar Meikara Azlinan of Rabbah is the same thing. Right? And based on that, he established the whole Machlokas Rishonim. Said Nimukayose and the Rush and the Tur all hold Basar Meikara Azlinan, and they hold that Nasea Kol. And Tosos argues, and he says, no, Basar Tavar Mana Azlinan when it comes to Dorei Keis. And you're not high of you're not tired of until the damage actually occurs. Says the stipler, these are two separate inyanim. There's the Gavra himself and his Maisa, and then there is the result of that Maisa. The Gavra himself and his Maisa has already been completed as soon as the arrow leaves his hand, or as soon as the fire leaves his match. The Gavra himself and his action is finished. But the result of that action hasn't happened yet. He says, Lidugma, following case. Hiko akashi yesh bo kedei lahamis. If Reuven strikes Shimon, and he strikes him so hard that it's kedei lahamis. It's enough to actually kill him. But he doesn't immediately die. V'nafal l'mishka. And instead, he's taken to the hospital. D'chov shin et hamaka. And they're nursing the wound. They're trying to take care of him. V'imei sacharka. And if he ultimately ends up dying, then who's responsible for his death? What would you say? Right? Reuven, right? Reuven hit him that hard. He didn't die immediately. He died 2 days later. But the hit was strong enough to have killed him, and the hit ultimately is what killed him. But he didn't die immediately. He died 48 hours later. Who's responsible for his death? Reuven. Who's put to death as a result of that reticha? Reuven. Right? Reuven is the one who's responsible. Hordinosa, right? We kill Reuven. Kimavura Biksubistaf Lamid Gimel Ayin Shah. Ubivade, says the stipler, Zea Muka Hachole Olo Nechshav Kameis. But the Chole himself is considered a Chole. He's not considered a dead man. He's not considered a Trefa. The Halacha is a Horeg is a Trefa, somebody who is about to die. A Gose, somebody who's about to die, is treated as if Nechshav Kameis. He's already dead. But this guy is not considered already dead. He's considered alive. He might die in the future, but right now he's considered alive. So much so that if Levi comes in and right, assassinates, picture some bad assassin movie, he comes in and he kills Shimon before Shimon naturally dies of natural causes. Now who's responsible for his death? Levi, the third guy, right, who came in and assassinated the Chole in his hospital bed. Not Reuven. Even though Reuven, his action was the action that would ultimately Nasakol, right? It's Nasakol, but the Totsah of the action, the result of the action, hasn't yet happened. And so there's a distinction between the Maisa is totally done, but the Totsah, when is the guy considered dead? At the time that Reuven killed him, hit him, or at the time he actually dies? The latter. He's not dead until he dies. The field is not burned down until it burns down. But the Maisa already happened. So when Nasa called, what the Nimuke Yosef is doing is saying, my responsibility extends, but my action is finished. So when he says, when I light Shabbos candles, I light Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos. My Maisa is done. The Totsah of that action happens on Shabbos. But my Maisa was done. And my Maisa, we only care about my Maisa If it's Be'isr on Shabbos. We don't care about my Maisa on Erev Shabbos that leads to a Totsah on Shabbos. So yes, it has a Totsah on Shabbos. But the Maisa happened on Erev Shabbos. And similarly, we can answer all the questions this way. Why didn't the Nimuke Yosef quote Rabbah and say Basar Mei Karazlinan? They didn't hold of Rabbah, Basar Mei Karazlinan applying to this. Right? He held, like Tosus basically, that Basar, this is not Basar Mei Kara Azlinan, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, even if you hold Basar Tavarmana Azlinan, but still, Nasa Akol, right, your Maisa is completed. How did Tosus light Shabbos candles? Similarly, because, and Rava also, because they could also hold that your Maisa is done, Basar Tavarmana Azlinan, but Nasa Akol. Right? Your action is finished, even though the totsah of the action is going to ultimately ensue after the fact. Our fourth question was Tisha B'Av on the 10th. Of course, we care about the totsah also. The Maisa of the Romans on the 9th was, the Maisa was done, but the totsah matters also. And the totsah was a stronger burning on the 10th. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says he would have liked to fast on the 10th. The fifth question was Rabbi Yitzchak Frank's question about Hanukkah candles. Similarly, your Maisa is done on Erev Shabbos, but the Totsah is the Pirsumei Nisa, the lighting of those candles into well after Pesach Kochavim. That happened. The Totsah still happened. The more you think about it, it's of course, the Maisa is done. But the Totsah, of course the Totsah is still happening at the time that the Totsah actually happens. And the Stipler actually ends by saying the words, he says, V'heinak Totsah Koshen Atzmo Nachis L'Svarazu. Probably the Totsah Koshen seemingly also likes this Svara, El at the Kas of Delo Mistavra L'Chalak Ba'alchi. So he mentioned something that sounds like this, but he didn't accept it. But to me, it seems like a good chiluk to me. Right, then you come out to the last two questions we had. The Maritzchias, why do you make a bracha? Making a bracha on the candles that will burn on Shabbos. Your Maisa is done on Erev Shabbos, but the Totsah, the burning, is happening on Shabbos. You're making a bracha on what will happen later. Your Maisa was done now, the Totsah will happen later. And the final case of the tour saying, the reason why the second guy is chayav is because any arrow that is thrown, you're in wait-and-see mode. Like you said earlier, Lemafreya, you're in wait-and-see mode. You light something on fire. Now you got to see what damage will actually happen. If in the meantime, while it's doing damage, somebody else comes along and explodes the top three floors of the building, who's responsible for the explosion of burning up the top three floors? Not the person who lit the fire on the ground floor. The person who blew up the three floors. Because ultimately, what damage was caused by the first guy? Only whatever damage actually is accomplished by the first guy. Like, yes, if it's not the same as Basar Mei Kara, like Zarek Kli Mirosh Hagan. It's your Maisa is not that cold. But now we have to see what actually happens as a result of that Maisa, and that's what we're going to pin back to you. And that's the way the Stifler explains the Nimukei Yosef. Based on that, it's not a Machlokas Rishonim anymore. And he goes out of his way to actually say how the Rush agrees with this also. So based on, I am not, wasn't here, I don't think the Stifler's entire existence was to make kumbaya that all the Rishonim agreed with each other. But that's what he accomplishes here, that what the so sets up is the machlokas between Tosus and the other Rishonim, he says, lohay v'lo nivra. They all agree. And that Nimukei Yosef's chiddush doesn't mean that he has to argue on Tosus or that he has to hold Basar Mei Kara Azlinan by Zorik. Okay, Ad Khan, a pleasure to have a chance to learn together.